any event that we can describe as being calm, no fear, no woe, no sting, ought to be an event of celebration. You and I have just been singing about death. And we sang all those ideas. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear anything. Because Christ is with me, his rod and his staff will comfort me. I don't have to have any fear. I don't have to be afraid in any way whatsoever. Had you ever thought about death as a time of celebration? I think it not good that we usually save everything that we teach and say about death until there is a funeral service. Because that has perhaps been sort of our approach, even those of us that are Christians sometimes do not look at death in the right way, do not look at it as a celebration. Back several years ago, there was a man who died in Nashville, a man who had been a missionary most of his life to Korea. If I remember his initials and everything, his name was A.R. Holton. Brother Holton was in his 90s when he died. There were, as you would imagine, many preachers and others who went by to pay their respect, and many of them were expressing their feelings of sympathy to Sister Holton, as we would normally do. And she smiled and said this, "There's really no need for sympathy because this is the day for which he lived. This is the day for which he lived." Mark just read from Revelation 14, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." And you know there is a sense in which that is the day for which each Christian lives. I went back and did some research this afternoon. During the 7 years that I have worked with you, I have preached 101 funerals. 16 of those were in their 90s, another 33 in their 80s, and another 23 in their 70s. Which means that 72 out of the 101 were 70 years or above. I looked over the names of those in the records that I keep, and with very, very few exceptions, I think I would have to admit that almost every one of those was a celebration. Someone who had lived at least 70 years, who had lived a Christian life, and as far as we were able to tell, had died in the Lord. And there was, in a sense, a time of celebration. Now, I don't mean to suggest by any stretch of the imagination that what we're talking about tonight, and even if we come to understand this in light of God's word, that it'll do away with the hurt that's associated with death. I don't expect that. Don't believe God wants that. Because even our Lord wept at the death of his friend. And I think if someone that we love and love dearly lived 100 years old and lived a complete Christian life in every sense of the word, there would still be the hurt. There would still be the loss. And I don't think we would have it any other way. But I believe there is a sense in which there is a celebration when a Christian dies to go home to be with God. I want to mention 5 funeral services tonight that I've conducted that stand out in my thinking that I think emphasize what I'm saying. One of these was a lady that none of you knew except Judy and the Rickards who lived in Tullahoma. Sister Myrtle Coop, C-O-O-P, Coop. Died when she was 86 years old. She'd been a widow for many years. She was a fine Christian lady. She did so much for so many people. She was so friendly to so many. She came to church on Wednesday night. She went back home, sat down, leaned her head up against the wall, and died. I just couldn't find much about that situation that was sad, except that she would not be with us any longer. God had blessed her with a long life. Let her come to church and be in a worship service just a few hours before her death. That was a celebration. The second one that I mentioned to you is Laura Laycook. Back in May of 93, at 89 years old, a lady who probably has taught more children or had taught more children than anybody else that we've ever known. After coming to a time when she probably would have had several days of extreme suffering if she had continued to live, was not able to function in her thinking process as she had been for all of those years, eased away in death. I think that her funeral service was a celebration in the true sense of the word. The next month of that year was Louise Cox, a little younger at 75 and sort of a sudden death. A lady who probably had taught as many ladies' classes, had written, had served as our church secretary here with me, had worked with me. A lady that we loved died rather suddenly. And because of the suddenness of it, there was some hurt, the unexpectedness of it, but yet I think her funeral service was a celebration because we believe she died in the Lord. The first month of this year, on the 15th, I went back to Tullahoma and preached the funeral service for Lottie Cook. Sister Cook would have been 100 years old had she lived to July. She was past 99. During her early 90s, I ate at her table several times, with her having prepared the food. And just a few months or a few weeks before her death, was able to visit with her and talk with her mind still sharp, just as much love for God as she had always had. It was just extremely difficult for me to find any real feeling of grief at that service. It was a celebration. Back in 1985, in September, I conducted the funeral service for my grandfather. In fact, before that, I had preached the funeral services, or at least helped in the funeral services of all my grandparents, the other three, two of which were also Dal's grandparents. And in all cases, we had every reason to celebrate for the lives that had been lived, but particularly in this case of Pa Dudney. Pa lacked 15 months being 100. He had even driven his automobile until he was about 92 or 93. One of the jolliest men you ever met. He didn't have to tell stories out of a book. He remembered enough that had happened back in the Depression and before the Depression that he could keep you in stitches, laughing all the time, just telling things that had happened. Loved the church. Supported preachers of the gospel. Held their hands up. Lived a complete life. 64 years with my grandmother and then 17 years after she died. I think that service was a celebration. Oh yes, there were tears shed. Our hearts hurt because we'd lost someone that had been with us so long and meant so much. And yet it was a celebration. Let me show you why from the Word of God. Listen as I read just a few passages of Scripture, starting in the Old Testament, Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now it's awfully hard for you and me to describe death as precious. And yet that's the word that is used. Going over to the New Testament, first in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the entire chapter talks about the resurrection, especially coming down to the latter part of chapter 15, where he's talking about death, look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And these are questions that just sort of answer themselves, that under these circumstances there is no sting and there is no victory for death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever thought about death being a victory? You know, we celebrate when there is a victory. Some of our football teams will be celebrating in the next few weeks, those that win and those that are able to go on to other games. They'll be celebrating because there was a victory. Folks, the subject that's being discussed there is death. And he says there is a victory. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You and I look at it as loss. And there is a sense of loss within the family and among friends. I'm not minimizing that at all. "If I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labor, yet I don't know what to do," Paul said. "For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." A desire to depart and be with Christ. A celebration. Paul was saying, as far as I'm concerned, from my standpoint, I could celebrate the idea of being able to depart and go on and be with Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says there, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." There's not the kind of grief at the death of a Christian that there is at the death of someone else. He says we don't really sorrow. Oh, there is a type of sorrow, but it's a different type, he says. You don't sorrow as those who have no hope. And he goes ahead in the next few verses and talks about how Christ will bring those that are asleep in him, and those that remain shall be caught up to be with Christ. And then in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Verse 6, Paul says, "I'm about ready to die." But look what he says. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown." We talk about celebration when we're talking about a crown. He says, "When I leave this earth, I'm leaving to go to get a crown. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day." And then I think one of the most beautiful passages is that one that was read earlier in our hearing. "Blessed are the dead." Now stop just a minute and think about that. It's not easy for us to accept that. "Blessed are the dead." And the sentence doesn't stop there. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And I think about the same thing is said in that beloved passage of John 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled." No trouble, no sorrow. Now, I want you to let your mind wander for just a moment over the key words and phrases that we've used in these verses. Precious. Victory. Gain, rest, hope, crown, blessings. And we're talking about death. But we're talking about the death of a saint, one who is in the Lord and one who is living for God. There's just something about the death of a Christian that's different. And there is a true sense in which it is a celebration. And I think we need to learn to look at it like that. I don't think I've arrived 100% in being able to look at it like that. I'm still struggling with this just like you are. But I think somehow or other that we've got to let ourselves understand the overall purpose of God and how the death of a Christian, a faithful Christian, is really the day for which we all live. And think about it as being something that is precious and something that is a victory and a gain and a blessing. And when we do that, I think we can learn to think of death as a celebration. With those scriptures in mind and those thoughts in mind, I want Gary to lead us in a few songs. And I want you to notice these songs, songs that we sing often but perhaps don't notice. I want you to notice where death is used in these songs. And then after that, we'll think about the invitation of Christ.
Number 114.
Thou art the way to thee alone, from sin and death we flee. And he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. Thou art the truth, thy word alone, truth. mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life, the rending tomb proclaims thy conquering arm, and those who put their trust in thee, nor death nor hell shall harm.
Number 151. 151.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe, for I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me.
Number 212.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou sayst to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
Number 338.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior. impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me. I tread, and griefs all round me spread. Be thou my guide, bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. From thee aside, when ends life's transient dream,